Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What are you talking about, Jeff? Stuff's already been happening in the NBA.
Which is bizarre. there are a couple of things coming up. Next week is the NBA draft.
I know.
Just in case anybody doesn't know, it starts a week from yesterday on June 25th.
Cavs have 2 second-round picks.
And then there are 2 days of the draft because, you know, you can't have enough of taking guys nobody's ever heard of from Croatia. And then on June 30th, you can begin negotiating with free agents. So, I mean,
the legal tampering period.
It's good. It is legal tampering. It works so well in the NFL.
It's so great. Love me July, some legal tampering.
July 6th, they can start signing guys.
So when does the illegal tampering take place? Because in the NFL, that's at the combine.
It's already going on. Right. Feeder is going to join us in about 17 minutes. The Browns stadium talk for Brook Park. Daryl, it's weird to me, and tell me if I have the right feel for this. It seems like it's died down like crazy, maybe because things are getting closer to reality. Is that fair? Because you're not hearing a whole lot of hype. The only thing you're seeing is Cuyahoga County people saying, okay, let's just go with it. It looks like it's going to be here. Let's figure out how to make this work.
Well, yeah, I mean, the county council Chris Ronayne, who's the county executive, he is still railing against it.
Yes, he is.
Mayor Justin Bibb still railing against it. Even though the Browns at one point did offer the city of Cleveland a significant amount of money to pay to demolish the existing stadium and kind of give a little kickstarter to the
lakefront development
there. But, there's a little, I don't want to say dissension in the ranks, but yeah, you're seeing county council. I think they're coming to terms with this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So let's,
which by the way, since it's in Cuyahoga County, congratulations. That's right. Good for you.
Right. It's,
you would think?
It's a $2+ billion private investment within the county.
Yeah.
Okay. And the way this is being constructed from a state level, and that's what's going on right now. So I can tell you that a couple of Browns officials were back in Columbus yesterday to meet with top state officials. They're doing what's called the conference committee reconciliation right now. So there are basically three budgets. There's the governor's version, there's the House version, there's the Senate version. Okay? And so now you've got these three versions. They got to get in conference committee and just kind of hammer this thing out. Well, in all three versions, there is money set aside for the Browns. Now, the governor's plan...
Is there money set aside for the Bengals, out of curiosity?
I'm going to get into that.
Okay.
I don't mean to go deep in the weeds, but we're going to go deep in the weeds here for a moment. There's three competing plans, and this is the part that has to get hammered out in this conference committee. I believe the Browns are getting this $600 million in funding. That is my opinion. But my opinion is based on the governor of the state of Ohio says it's a good project, supports it, put it in his budget. The Ohio House.
Just wanting to fund it a certain way.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The Ohio House, same thing, even though it passed narrowly, but it did pass.
And wanting to fund it a certain way.
Right. And then the Senate, same thing.
Same deal.
Okay. So the governor, what he originally wanted to do was double the taxes on the gambling company.
Yeah, the companies.
Not the gamblers.
Not the gamblers, the
that
companies.
That was the misnomer that was out there. People thought, hey, I'm betting, so you're taking my winnings away from me to pay for the Browns project.
No, contraire.
No, it's the tax on the gaming company's revenue that he wanted to double. And then that extra 20%, he wanted to create a stadium construction fund statewide so that the Browns could be taken care of. And then all
fine arts as well, part of that.
Yeah, everything can be taken. Bengals could get taken care of, Reds, all the pro teams could get, and even the minor league teams could get taken care of. However, part of the governor's plan too, Jeff, it just wouldn't be government if there wasn't bureaucracy, right? Well, in the governor's plan, there was a, you know, like a commission would be established that you would go in front of to ask for your money and yada, yada, okay? So the House plan, they were just like, we're just going to bond $600 million for the Browns. That's how we're going to do it. Well, okay, that's a really bad idea because now you're talking limiting what you can do around the state as far as funding other stuff that's important. You're affecting the state credit rating. You're doing all kinds of other, the debt service comes out of the general fund and all that. But that's how the House chose to do it. Mm-hmm. Also, the other problem, aside from those things that I just mentioned, was, well, no one else in the state's taken care of. Now, keep in mind, the Guardians already are receiving $2 million per year for the next 15 years from the general fund for the progressive.
The state general fund.
Yes, for the progressive field renovation, because the state, the county.
Which, by the way.
Is beautiful. The city, they all kicked in. And also the Guardians kicked in as well, and the Guardians paid for the cost overruns. And I'm here to tell you, there were a lot of cost overruns with that project that they did over there.
And okay? I don't mean to downplay $2 million, but. It's not like $2 million is...
$600 million.
Right. Okay. An outrageous amount to maintain anything.
And trust me, there are people over...
Like that.
There are people over at 2401 Ontario that their eyes opened when they saw the ask in the...
I would bet.
Yeah. So then the Senate said, well, yeah, bonding, bad idea, not going to do that, not going to do the gambling tax thing with the governor. We like the idea of creating a stadium construction fund, but... Well, we have all this money that's collecting dust in this unclaimed property fund. It's almost $5 billion. What if we take the oldest of that money that's in that fund, which is around $1.7 billion, and we go through what's called an escheatment process, and that is where it becomes state property because it's unclaimed after a certain time. And I believe it's a decade. And keep in mind, that money was unclaimed for years before it even was turned into the state of Ohio as well. Mm. And they said, well, we'll come up with $1.7 billion to create this stadium construction fund from the escheatment from this unclaimed funds fund. That doesn't jeopardize if you have unclaimed. I put in a claim. I got like $46 back.
Nice job.
Yeah.
I had something similar. Coming back to me.
Yeah, I mean, it turned into a little PSA. Hey, you might want to go in and look and see if somebody owes you some money, right? So then they said, well, so we'll just do a performance grant for the Browns, $600 million. Then we have $1.1 billion left over because the Bengals are asking for almost $400 million. The Cincinnati Reds are exploring what they need to do to Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. You've got the Columbus Blue Jackets that might need some money. We've got Gateway up here that is always needing money, right? So that solves the issue, a statewide issue. So everyone has an opportunity to get some funding there. But what they're doing with the Browns and the Senate also took a piece from the House plan was the Haslams, you're going to put $50 million in an escrow account because you gave us all these beautiful spreadsheets with tax revenue projections, right? Because that's the number one thing, you know, politicians like Chris Ronayne are arguing against is, well, the Browns' math doesn't add up, whether it is from parking revenue, tax revenue, whatever. Their math does not add up. They are lying through their teeth about what type of tax revenue this complex is going to generate, okay? So the state of Ohio is saying in these plans, well, you're going to put $50 million in an escrow account. If you do not meet the projections that you told us, we get to go into the escrow account and we get to make the balance sheet even. Okay, now
getting confused, Daryl.
Now, after that $50 million gets exhausted, you have to put in another $50 million. But then, after 16 years, if there's any money left in that escrow account, and it could be the full first $50 million, and plus the interest that's in that account, you get to claw that, you get that money back.
Yeah.
So there's three different plans, and they all got to kind of put their heads together over the next week or so here to get that hammered out. But I do believe when it's all said and done, Jeff, they're going to get the funding. The question is, what is the actual construct for that funding? Will it be the Senate plan? Will it be the House plan? Which I don't think it will be. I don't think they're going to do bonds. Will it be the governor's taxation plan? I don't think it's going to be that either. But again, when you have the governor, the House, and the Senate all including that project in their budgets, it stands to reason that Brook Park is going to get the funding, or the Brook Park project, rather, will get that funding, and shovels will go on the ground in the first quarter of 2026.
I was just going to ask you, time frame.
Yeah.
Construction, and stuff has already been going on that property.
Yeah.
Getting it ready for a construction project.
The remediation. The current developer that owns the property has been remediating that site. Of course, that was the old Ford plant that was on there.
The Haslams don't own it now, but they have the option to own. Is that the deal?
So what has happened is they've exercised the purchase option agreement, and they are currently making the payments to acquire the property officially.
The lease expires after the 2028 season? The team would have to be in the new place 2029,
right.
fall of 2029?
So a little legalese for you. The lease with the city of Cleveland for the existing stadium officially expires on February 1st, 2029.
Okay. So interesting.
So that means they'll be in the new building in August of 2029.
Unless there's an issue, in which case I can't imagine that the stadium would be available because they'd be moving on from it, you would think, right? The city would be?
Yeah.
They're not going to sink any money into it and have it ready to go in the fall.
Well, they are, until that lease expires, the city of Cleveland is required to maintain it. And there are a couple million dollars in repairs they're doing this offseason right now to take care of some issues.
Yeah. Larry's in Elyria. Larry, thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going, Jeff and Daryl? Hey, Daryl, I'll ask you a question. Jeff brought some up about the Bengals. I'm going to ask you a question about that. But, yeah, the funded money, which I saw was a good idea because it doesn't affect the taxpayers or the gamblers, which you mentioned.
Right.
And ain't that a 16-year loan with interest on top of that? The state would make it off of that. And the thing, too, Daryl, but I want to jump beyond the Bengals. Now, once they expire, they can leave Cincinnati. But could they use the Art Modell rule on top of it, prevent them from doing that?
Yeah, well, and that is a pretty – the Art Modell rule would apply more to the Cincinnati Bengals than it does the Cleveland Browns. But again, the issue is their lease allows them to leave. And this is what I've been trying to explain to people, even though the city of Cleveland sued the Browns in county court to have that enforced. The Browns beat them to federal court. To have it ruled unconstitutional. I've talked to a lot of legal folks. No one believes that the city of Cleveland will win that lawsuit because the Browns are not breaking a lease. They will have
their lease expires.
They will have completed the lease, fulfilled the obligations of the lease, and under the Commerce Clause in the United States Constitution, you can't force a business, which let's remember, the Cleveland Browns are a business.
Absolutely.
You cannot force a business or a person to, stay in a spot, if that makes sense.
Larry, thank you very much.
And I know that's like a lot of in the weeds minutia there, but it is an in the weeds minutia story.
And the entire Modell rule was not designed to keep a team from moving 12 miles to a new facility.
They're staying in the market too.
Exactly.
That's
the point.
And here's the other thing. I don't think the Bengals are going anywhere. I think that's just a little to get. Here's the problem for them, because I did talk to folks in Columbus about the Bengals situation, because Larry asks a very relevant question. And this is why what they're doing in Columbus is so important. This isn't just about the Browns, Jeff. And that's why they're just bonding the Browns $600 million and that's that. Well, what do you do with everyone else? They're trying to come up with something so they can handle everybody else, including the Bengals. Cincinnati's problem, more so the Bengals in Hamilton County, they don't have a plan. The Browns had a plan. They presented the plan, okay? The Bengals have no real plan. They're just like, yeah, we're looking for about $385 million. And like a couple weeks ago, it was like $500 million. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they don't even have a formal submission. So that's why in these in this conversation they're having to come up with the construct, they're like, well, let's make it available so that when the Bengals, the Reds, and everyone else has plans, we can handle it.
Anything that comes up with the stadium, Daryl's your man. He's all over.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For this stuff, so informed and always getting new information. So good stuff there. Chris Fedor covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Also joins us from time to time. He'll do that next, right here on Baskin and Phelps Game 6 NBA Finals. It could wrap up tonight. Game 6 NBA Finals. Oklahoma City Thunder can put it away if they can win in Indianapolis against the Pacers. They lead the series 3-2. Man who covers the NBA and, of course, the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's our buddy. You hear him here on the fan as well, Mr. Chris Fedor. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're pumped. We both think Indiana wins tonight. What do you think?
I just have my doubts considering the status of Tyrese Halliburton. You know, when you're talking about calf strains, that those are usually measured in weeks, not days. And effectiveness for a player when dealing with that particular injury, it's hard to play through. And there's a difference between being able to be out there just for your team and gutting through it and being effective playing through it. So I have my doubts that he's going to be effective and the same guy that he's been throughout the course of this playoff run for Indy. And he's the most important player that the Pacers have. So it would not surprise me if Indiana wins because that's just what they do. They're so battle tested. They're so mentally tough. They play the kind of style that wears on you over the course of a 48 minute game and over the course of the series. But if I were making a pick, I would say that Oklahoma City ends it tonight.
Yeah, Chris, you mentioned just how battle-tested this Pacers team is. Obviously, we saw that, unfortunately, here in Cleveland in the series with the Cavaliers. Why do you think the national media is just so taken aback, it seems, by their scrappiness and resiliency?
It's not just national media. It's Vegas as well. They've been favored twice throughout this entire playoff run. Twice!
Yeah.
I mean, going back to Milwaukee, going back to the Cleveland series, going to New York in the conference twice they've been favored. I just think it's very similar. It's very reminiscent to the Dallas Mavericks run in 2011, where not a lot of people just believed in them. Not a lot of people could accept the fact that they continued to win games with a specific style. They continued to defy the odds, so to speak. So I think the Pacers have the kind of style that isn't always easy to get on board with, but for teams around the NBA, it's very difficult to play against because they just wear on you over the course of a series, over the course of a game. They're relentless, and they wear you down mentally and physically. And the margin for error against a team like Indiana, and it's something that the Cavs learned in their series, it is so minuscule because you have to do things right for 24 seconds throughout the course of a shot clock, or you have to do things right for 24 seconds on the defensive end of the floor, and one minor slip up at that end of the floor, one defensive breakdown at the wrong time, one miscommunication, and they have the kind of offense that's going to make you pay because they trust in what they do, they believe in what they do, and they don't abandon what they do. So I think they're a very impressive team. I think they've been one of the best teams in the NBA going all the way back to January. But it's hard for people to recognize that because they don't have the flashy star player. They don't have a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who's going to be in the MVP conversation. They don't have somebody like Donovan Mitchell who's capable of going out there and scoring 40 points per game. It's really a situation where the sum of their team is greater than the individual parts, and not a lot of people believe in that to the level that maybe they should.
Let's give a little credit. Who was the head coach of that 2011 Mavericks team that surprised everybody?
Yep, that's right. And I think it's also very difficult, guys, to quantify, you know, how many wins throughout the course of a series is a coach worth? How many wins throughout the course of a series is a system worth? Is a style worth? Our tactics worth and stuff like that. But Rick Carlisle has shown throughout the course of his career, even going back to that series when he was with the Dallas Mavericks, where he outcoached Eric Spoelstra and he outcoached the coach of the year in Kenny Atkinson and he outcoached Tom Thibodeau. And at the beginning of the series, he outcoached Mark Daigneault. Like the things that he can do in a 7-game series to shift things in his favor, it's very difficult to quantify, but it certainly matters a great deal.
Chris Fedor joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. And I wonder about this. The Oklahoma City team, young, lots of assets still to come. I mean, they still have first-round picks. They're young. But they're built in maybe more of a traditional way because you have the superstar player. And then you have some really good players around them who could be on their way to being a superstar. Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, really good. I think it might be tougher for teams to try to copy Indiana's style, Chris. Is that something that you think could start to happen? Because, you know, everybody copies everybody. But OKC is built in the more traditional way. Is it not based around the superstar?
Yeah, I think so. I also think that it's very difficult to duplicate OKC because you have to have the right group of personnel to play the style that they want to play and attack the basket relentlessly and be one of the league leaders in drives per game throughout the course of this 3-year run that they've been on. It's also very difficult to duplicate the tenacity that they play with and the physicality that they play with on the defensive end of the floor and their switchability that they bring to the defensive end of the floor. I mean, the defense that OKC played throughout the course of this season, we have not seen over the last 10 to 15 years. And having multiple guys, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, Cason Wallace, Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, we're talking about any one of those guys that you can put on the best opponent perimeter score. They have so many of those kinds of guys. And very few teams in the NBA have that many plus defenders that they can throw at the likes of Donovan Mitchell, at the likes of Jalen Brunson if they came out of the Eastern Conference, at the likes of, you know, Jaylen Brown if the Celtics get it turned around in the next couple of years when Jason Tatum recovers from his Achilles injury. So I think both of their styles are very difficult to play against and they're very difficult to duplicate. And I'll say this about OKC. I know that we're in an era right now, guys, where it's not so much the dynasty era. It's not so much the big three era. If there's a team that can challenge the whole, this isn't the era for dynasties because of the new CBA, because of the limitations on team building, because of how difficult it can be to keep your homegrown talent and add pieces to it because of the first apron, because of the second apron. If there is a team that is going to challenge the whole no dynasties thing, it is OKC. This might be the worst that they are over the next 5 years.
Yikes.
Because Chet Holmgren's only going to get better, and he's only going to learn from this experience of playing in the NBA Finals. Jalen Williams, look what he has done. He might end up being Finals MVP. Like, he might rip it away from his own teammate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the regular season MVP, because he has learned playoff basketball as he has gone. He has gotten more comfortable with playoff basketball. They've got a first-round lottery pick that has yet to debut. They've got other lottery picks who can't even crack the rotation, and they've got a treasure trove of draft picks that, if they're motivated enough and the next star player becomes available, whether it's Giannis, whoever you want to throw out there, there is no team that, if OKC is motivated enough to make that kind of drastic shakeup with their roster, you know, the way that the Golden State Warriors did during their dynasty era, where they made a bunch of moves to welcome in Kevin Durant. Like, OKC is set up to do that if they're motivated enough to do it.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer, the outstanding Cavaliers writer, appearing on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, you mentioned OKC and their ability with the assets they have to get better. Even though they might be hoisting Larry O'Brien tonight. Cavaliers free.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Agency's about 10-11 days away here. They are dealing with the second apron, and I guess that's my first question. They're going to be a taxpayer this year. Is there a world where they get under the second apron this offseason?
There is. It's just how motivated are they to do that, and how open are other teams around the NBA to take what they would potentially be offering. They have had conversations with teams. They have shopped Isaac Okoro. They have shopped Dean Wade. They've tried to figure out if there's a landing spot for Isaac's $11 million a year contract. But I think the thing that we kind of saw most recently here in the trade between Memphis and Orlando, you know, so many people are like, why did Orlando give up so many first round picks for Desmond Bane? Well, number one, he's the ideal fit for what they do. And I don't know that there's another player out there that would be a better fit for what they needed. The toughness, the physicality, the size, the athleticism, the age, the secondary playmaking, the shooting, the floor spacing, all that kind of stuff. But they also had to dump Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's contract, and that probably cost them another first-round pick. So if you're a team like the Cavs, and you're looking for somebody to help you with Isaac's money, you're probably going to have to attach an asset or two or three to it just to move off of that deal. So I think that's something that the Cavs are running into. Teams out there are looking at it saying, hey, if we take Isaac's contract from you, we're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
Incentivize us to take that contract. And that means multiple second round picks, or that means can they go out in a separate move, acquire a first round pick just so that they have one to attach to Isaac's contract to give them a little bit more financial flexibility. But those are the two contracts that really stand out to me that the Cavs are looking at shopping this offseason to see if they can create a little bit more financial flexibility. It's Dean Wade, it's Isaac Okoro.
But Chris, as you just laid out, it's not like you're, you know, offering a sports car.
No, you're not.
You know,
I mean, you're talking about two guys toward the back end of a rotation, yes, on a championship team that had a hard time getting consistent playing time for the Cavs. I mean, Isaac, how many times is he going to get played off the floor in a playoff environment? I mean, it's happened every single year over the last 3 years for the Cavs. And that's the reality of what the Cavs are trying to shop with these other teams. So I think there's probably a more than likely chance that they're just dealing with the reality of they're a second apron team and there are restrictions and limitations that are going to come with that. And they're just going to have to deal with those and navigate those the best that they can.
Chris Fedor joining us, covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, and does a great job of it. Other than trying to peddle a couple of contracts and a couple of players who I would think aren't going to get other teams really excited, they don't have a whole lot of wiggle room to do much of anything else, do they? If you're Kobe Altman and you're watching the finals, do you think you need to try to do something drastic to make this team better? Or can you fine-tune a couple of things, Chris, and think you're good to go?
Well, I think there are a few different ways that Kobe and this front office can look at the situation in front of them. And I don't know that any of these ways would necessarily be wrong, guys. I just think it's about what's possible based on the situation that they're in with the limited financial flexibility and the limited resources that they have. And then what's possible from the outside in terms of what kinds of offers could they get for somebody like Jared Allen, somebody like Darius Garland. You know, so many people have said that I want to run Darius out of town or I want to run Jared Allen out of town. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It's just the situation that they're in. It's complicated to make external moves. That's where the second apron becomes problematic for a team like the Cavs. And there's only three teams in the NBA that are currently projected as second apron teams. The second apron doesn't prevent you from bringing back your own guys or doing things internally. They can bring back Sam Merrill. They just have to cut a big luxury tax. They can bring back Ty Jerome. They just have to cut a big luxury tax. The second apron becomes prohibitive when it comes to external moves. So if the Cavs are looking at this situation and they're saying, hey, we're not good enough. Our roster is not good enough. We need to close the gap on Indy. We need to close the gap on New York. We need to find a way, if we were to get to the NBA Finals, to be more competitive with a team like OKC. They don't have a draft pick to use, so there's no first-round pick coming that could help them. They have two draft picks in this draft, and their numbers 49 and 58. What is that doing for a team with championship aspirations? Jalen Tyson was the 20th pick in last year's draft, couldn't get on the floor, couldn't crack the rotation. There was no place for him. So how is a second-round pick late in the second round going to improve this team? The answer is it's not. Free agency, they have no money to spend. The only thing that they can do in terms of bringing in talent from the outside in free agency is offer veteran minimum contracts. That's the situation that they're in. You know what kind of guys are on veteran minimum deals. How many of those guys are going to really come in and move the needle?
And if anybody wanted to chase a ring, this probably wouldn't be the team they'd sign with on a vet minimum.
No, probably not. But even if it is chasing a ring, you're not talking about somebody who's going to be a starter quality player really going to help you change the math when it comes to taking the next step and competing for a championship. And being better equipped in a 7-game series or a 16-game playoff environment. So the only pathway to legitimate improvement and a step forward is via trade, if the Cavs are motivated enough to do that, if the offers out there are good enough for them to actually consider. If the Cavs are looking at this and saying, we're not good enough, our roster is not good enough, we need to make significant changes to it. The only pathway this offseason to do that is via trade. And you're not trading Donovan Mitchell. You're not trading Evan Mobley. And the other pieces aren't bringing you back significant players. Like, Isaac Okoro's not bringing you back anything significant, right? Max Strus isn't bringing you anything back significant. And the same thing that you can say about Dean Wade. So where do you turn your attention? You turn your attention to Jared Allen and Darius Garland because they're the best combination of quote-unquote available and expendable, and they're going to bring you back the most in trade value in terms of pieces that you could bring back. But there's a chance that Kobe Altman looks at this and says, hey, we weren't fully healthy. Allow us to be fully healthy. Man. Year two of Kenny Atkinson and his system. More time with DeAndre Hunter to get more comfortable in this system and get more familiar with his role and stuff like that. There is a pathway to Kobe looking at this and saying internal improvements, maturity, going through all these playoffs, lessons from all these playoffs, and health and more experience, like maybe that is enough to change the equation. Maybe that's enough to pull them closer to some of these teams in the Eastern Conference. That's not how I view it personally, but there's a chance that the front office views it that kind of way and that they don't do anything drastic and they don't shake up this roster and they just try minor moves on the margins.
Can't wait to see what happens as soon as the finals end and these teams start getting after it. Chris, thank you. Great insight as always, buddy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.